You get to face a lot of young man. You got a long journey ahead of you, because you're going to find out that while your dad did a lot of to you, you're going to have to make it on your own. Because this world we live in is tough. It's tough. It will beat you down. The world in the life that we live in is the ultimate competitor. The world's tough. The world's tough. It will try to take you out. It will find your weakness, and it will just hammer you. So it's time to get back to work. Get back to work. Stop hearing yourself talk. Get off the podcast. Don't be on social media too much. Cut out all the fucking noise. Get back to the fucking mental lab, because that's where the knowledge came from. You need to get to a point in your life where there's nothing can hurt you, because you know exactly who you are. You've faced your demons. You were able to hear all your past traumas. You were able to listen to them. You're able to say, okay, now I can now talk to people about what I went through. I'm no longer embarrassed. I'm no longer ashamed. Being ashamed is one of the biggest things that kill people nowadays in their minds, kill them from moving forward. I'm ashamed of myself. Don't ever be ashamed of anything you've done in your life. Face it, fix it, make it better. Everything I need is in my mental lab. Everything, because I'm in constant study of myself. And I know what needs to be conquered, because I'm constantly going through what I don't like, what I'm not comfortable with. I know, and only I can fix these problems, because I have to face these problems.
Heraclitus, a philosopher born in the Persian Empire back in the 5th century BC, had it right when he wrote about men on the battlefield. Out of every 100 men, he wrote, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the real fighters, and we are lucky to have them, for they make the battle. Ah, but the one is a warrior. From the time you take your first breath, you become eligible to die. You also become eligible to find your greatness and become the one warrior. But it is up to you to equip yourself for the battle ahead. Only you can master your mind, which is what it takes to live a bold life filled with accomplishments most people consider beyond their capability. I am not a genius like those professors at MIT, but I am that one warrior. And the story you are about to read, the story of my life, will illuminate a proven path to self-mastery and empower you to face reality, hold yourself accountable, push past pain, learn to love what you fear, relish failure, live to your fullest potential, and find out who you really are. Human beings change through study, habit, and stories. Through my story, you will learn what the body and mind are capable of when they're driven to maximum capacity and how to get there. Because when you're driven, whatever is in front of you, whether it's racism, sexism, injuries, divorce, depression, obesity, tragedy, or poverty, becomes fuel for your metamorphosis. The steps laid out here amount to the evolutionary algorithm, one that obliterates barriers, glimmers with glory, and delivers lasting peace. I hope you're ready. It's time to go to war with yourself. Third grade was a shock to my system, not just because we had to learn cursive when I was still getting the hang of reading block letters, but because our teacher, Ms. D, was nothing like Sister Catherine. Our class was still small. We had about 20 kids total, split between third and fourth grade, but she didn't handle it nearly as well and wasn't interested in taking the extra time I required. My trouble started with the standardized test we took during our first couple of weeks of class. Mine came back a mess. I was still way behind the other kids, and I had trouble building on lessons from the previous days, let alone the previous academic year. Sister Catherine considered similar signs as cues to dedicate more time with her weakest student, and she challenged me daily. Miss D looked for a way out, and within the first month of class, she told my mother that I belonged in a different school, one for special students. Every kid knows what special means. It means you are about to be stigmatized for the rest of your life. It means that you are not normal. The threat alone was a trigger, and I developed a stutter almost overnight. My thought-to-speech flow was jammed up with stress and anxiety, and it was at its worst in school. Imagine being the only black kid in class, in the entire school, and enduring the daily humiliation of also being the dumbest. I felt like everything I tried to do or say was wrong, and it got so bad, instead of responding and skipping like scratch vinyl whenever the teacher called my name, I often chose to keep quiet. It was all about limiting exposure to save face. Ms. D didn't even attempt to empathize. She went straight to frustration and vented it by yelling at me, sometimes when she was leaning down, her hand on the back of my chair, her face just inches from my own. She had no idea the Pandora's box she was tearing open. Once, school was a safe harbor, the one place I knew I couldn't be hurt, but in Indiana, it morphed into my torture chamber. Ms. D wanted me out of her classroom, and the administration supported her, until my mother fought for me. The principal agreed to keep me enrolled if my mother signed off on time with a speech therapist and put me into group therapy with a local shrink they recommended. The psychologist's office was adjacent to a hospital, which was exactly where you want to put it if you were trying to make a little kid doubt himself. It was like a bad movie. The shrink set up 7 chairs in a semicircle around him, but some of the kids wouldn't or couldn't sit still. One child wore a helmet and banged his head against the wall repeatedly. Another kid stood up while the doctor was mid-sentence, walked toward a far corner of the room, and peed in the trash can. The kid sitting next to me was the most normal person in the group, and he had set his own house on fire. I can remember staring up at the shrink on my first day, thinking, there's no way I belong here. That experience kicked my social anxiety up several notches. My stutter was out of control, my hair started falling out, and white splotches bloomed on my dark skin. The doctor diagnosed me as an ADHD case and prescribed Ritalin. But my problems were more complex. I was suffering from toxic stress. The type of physical and emotional abuse I was exposed to has been proven to have a range of side effects on young children because in our early years, the brain grows and develops so rapidly. If during those years, your father is an evil man determined to destroy everyone in his house, stress spikes, and when those spikes occur frequently enough, you can draw a line across the peaks. That's your new baseline. It puts kids in a permanent fight or flight mode. Fight or flight can be a great tool when you're in danger because it amps you up to battle through or sprint from trouble. But it's no way to live. I'm not the type of guy to try to explain everything with science, but facts are facts. I've read that some pediatricians believe toxic stress does more damage to kids than polio or meningitis. I know firsthand that it leads to learning disabilities and social anxiety because, according to doctors, it limits language development and memory, which makes it difficult for even the most gifted student to recall what they have already learned. Looking at the long game, when kids like me grow up, they face an increased risk for clinical depression, heart disease, obesity, and cancer, not to mention smoking, alcoholism, and drug abuse. Those raised in abusive households have an increased probability of being arrested as a juvenile by 53%. Their odds of committing a violent crime as an adult are increased by 38%. I was the poster child of that generic term you've all heard before, at-risk youth. My mother wasn't the one raising a thug. Look at the numbers and it's clear, if anyone put me on a destructive path, it was Trunis Goggin. I didn't stay in group therapy for long, and I didn't take Ritalin either. My mom picked me up after my second session and I sat in the front seat of her car, wearing a 1,000-yard stare. Mom, I'm not going back, I said. These boys are crazy. She agreed, but I was still a damaged kid. And while there are proven interventions on the best way to teach and manage kids who suffer from toxic stress, it's fair to say that Ms. D didn't get those memos. I can't blame her for her own ignorance. The science wasn't nearly as clear in the 1980s as it is now. All I know is Sister Catherine toiled in the trenches with the same malformed kid that Ms. D dealt with, but she maintained high expectations and didn't let her frustration overwhelm her. She had the mindset of, look, everybody learns in a different way, and we're going to figure out how you learn. She deduced that I needed repetition, that I needed to solve the same problems over and over again in a different way to learn, and she knew that took time. Ms. D was all about productivity. She was saying, keep up or get out. Meanwhile, I felt backed into a corner. I knew that if I didn't show some improvement, I would eventually be shipped out to that special black hole for good. So I found a solution. I started cheating. Studying was hard, especially with my screwed up brain, but I was a good cheat. I copied friends' homework and scammed my neighbor's work during tests. I even copied the answers on the standardized test that didn't have any impact on my grades. It worked. My rising test scores placated Ms. D, and my mother stopped getting calls from school. I thought I'd solved a problem when really I was creating new ones by taking the path of least resistance. My coping mechanism confirmed that I would never learn squat at school and that I would never catch up, which pushed me closer toward a flunked out fate. The saving grace of those early years in Brazil was that I was way too young to understand the kind of prejudice I would soon face in my new hick hometown. Whenever you're the only one of your kind, you're in danger of being pushed toward the margins, suspected and disregarded, bullied and mistreated by ignorant people. So that's just the way life is, especially back then. And by the time that reality kicked me in the throat, my life had already become a jacked up fortune cookie. Whenever I cracked it open, I got the same message. You are born to fail. My bad cards arrived early and stuck around a while, but everyone gets challenged in life at some point. What is your bad hand? What kind of crap are you dealing with? Are you getting beaten, abused, bullied? Do you ever feel insecure? Maybe your limiting factor is that you are growing up so supported and comfortable, you never push yourself. What are the current factors limiting your growth and success? Is someone standing in your way at work or school? Are you underappreciated and overlooked for opportunities? What are the long odds you're up against right now? Are you standing in your own way? Break out your journal. If you don't have one, buy one or start one on your laptop, tablet, or in the Notes app on your smartphone and write them all out in minute detail. Don't be bland with this assignment. I showed you every piece of my dirty laundry. If you are hurt or are still in harm's way, tell the story in full. Give your pain shape. Absorb its power. Because you are about to flip that pain on its head. You will use your story, this list of excuses, these very good reasons why you shouldn't amount to anything, to fuel your ultimate success. Sounds fun, right? Yeah, it won't be. But don't worry about that yet. We'll get there. For now, just take inventory. Once you have your list, share it with whoever you want. For some, it may mean logging onto social media, posting a picture, and writing out a few lines about how your own past or present circumstances challenge you to the depth of your soul. If that's you, use the hashtag #BadHandKentHurtMe. Otherwise, acknowledge and accept it privately. Whatever works for you, I know it's hard, but this act alone will begin to empower you to overcome.